Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, just stay positive. Hey, I think talk to Coach Moore, legendary coach, Coach Peyton Manning back in the day. He's with the Buccaneers, and just he offered some encouragement, saying, "Hey, you don't know when your opportunity is going to come, but you can always be ready for it. That's the only thing you can do." So that's the way I've tried to approach this year.
And indeed, that's Mason Rudolph talking about, this is in a little bit time past, but he was talking to my former offensive coordinator, and Mason is right, the legendary Tom Moore, who is the quarterback whisperer. He's worked with some of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. And certainly, I will tell you, Max, the fact is, Mason came out and he said, "No word yet. Pickett's still in concussion protocol, and I'll wait to hear from Coach." And yesterday, it was confirmed by Mason himself and others that he split reps with the first team. And so, it's on. And now we got to see how this is going to manifest itself as the days unfold here during the week, my friend.
Yeah, yep, it is a 50-50 shot there, Wolf, with Mason and Mitch. You would think they would have a decision and just pick one and go, right? Pick one and go. Why are we still trying to play games? Why are we still going through the gamesmanship of I get it if it's strictly for deception against Carolina.
I would think that has to play. Come on, a little strategery. You know how that goes.
You do. Yeah, I know. It's chestnut checkers. But it's like, if it's Mason, man, get him as many reps as possible, please.
Right, I got
so
you.
First of all,
you are more of a chess guy than I am checkers guy. You know what I mean? I'm a checkers guy. I think you always strike me as a chess guy. Right? Did you used to play chess when you were growing up?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
See.
I taught my girls and they play chess, even though it's like pulling teeth right now that they're at that awkward stage where they would rather play every other board game except for the one that requires you to think. So
that's why I like checkers.
Yeah.
Old habits are hard to break, bro.
Yeah, hey, I get it. But listen, and they understand it, right? They understand what that is. I want them to have that skill because you can play that game anywhere in the world, and everybody, it is an international icebreaker for a lot of people, So that's why I kind of harp on them to make sure that they understand it and they stay just fresh on their skills. I'm not saying they have to go out and try and become a grandmaster or anything, but it would be nice to have a world ranking,
My heavens. I don't know. There's just a lot of thinker rating that goes on with chess. And the fact is when you have that much time to you turn the hourglass over or whatever it is and, you got to, what is it? How much time do you got in between each move?
I mean, there is a standard. I mean, you don't want to take too long, but I mean, that like in speed chess, when you're that's the one where you're doing the timing.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, yeah, they want you to move at a normal pace, but you can take up to 3 minutes to make a move.
Oh man, yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm always second guessing myself.
You know, that's why I like chess.
I mean, what's that?
You would do well at speed chess.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be over and
hit
done.
The clock. Yeah, make a decision, hit the clock, and move on.
That's right. Just do that, and then get on out after you lose in 3 minutes.
Oh man,
it's a slow start this morning. Absolutely. But here's the thing about it. You know, again, the strategy that goes into it, I understand. If it's going to be Mason, number one, they don't really have a book on him. They got to go back to the preseason to be able to hunt down some film on him, go back to last year, go back to the year before. You know, I mean, there's not a lot out there on it, and I would think that that kind of works in your favor.
Yeah, it's like being a ninja, right? You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know what you're trying to guess what happened last year in this preseason and try and extrapolate it into this week after so many weeks have gone by. And it would be I feel like it would be a strategic advantage to have Mason in the lineup to go down there to Carolina and just kind of upset the apple cart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's just some things that they wouldn't be prepared for with Mason. Now, I'm not asking him to go out there and turn into Kenny Pickett crazy legs, right?
Right.
Rushing down the field. No, absolutely not. But I do love the accuracy, that most of the decisions and timing that Mason has to offer. Now, if he gets down there and then he has a Mitch Trubisky moment like last week, well, then, okay, let's pull him. I can't wait for Mitch to be in there. But.
Well, the king is dead. Long live the king.
Exactamundo. Exactamundo. Yeah. Hail Caesar. You know? And I do love the croutons with my Caesar salad.
Oh, yes. If you can't have crunch in that, what's the use? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, we talk about this, and I know it's not a merit-based system in the NFL. I acknowledge that, Wolf. But at the same time, I can't help but say I feel like Mason has earned at least one start
before the end of the year. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's been the cheerleader. He's been Mr. Positivity. It's only right to reward him with – this opportunity because he's earned it.
Right.
You're not just giving it to him. I feel like he's earned it in an auxiliary role. And that's the reason why I think, you know, it might sound like, you know, a broken record. It might be something that we're like, why are they talking so much? Because, I mean, listen, because we were once players.
Right.
I would have loved to have had somebody advocate for me when I was on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And believe in me and also, you know, give me that public smoke, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all we're trying to do is trying to paint a picture. And let's be honest. I think Mason gives us a better shot to win.
And isn't that that's the sole reason to do something,
yeah.
Right? What gives you the best opportunity to win?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 5-8, Wolf. We're
5-8. Yep.
In case anybody was wondering, we're still 5-8.
Exactly. So I mean, and yeah. The people that say, "What do you got to lose?" I say, "What do you got to win?" You know, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, you don't make a change like that at quarterback without thinking that it ups your ability to get a win. You know, we've seen now what Mitch can do, and he's very capable, all right? The three interceptions, extremely unfortunate, but he was going for the win. He was trying to do something positive, right? And yet, it was some bad decisions there. But at the same time, you know he can come off the bench and move the club, you know? Let Mason, I think it's time. I think it's time. Maybe he gives the guys a good spark. Who knows? You know what I mean? But he certainly, again, I come off of his last two, games where, it was regular season, and then his work in the preseason. And I thought he was the best coming out of the preseason. And as I said, I know this is Kenny's team, and yet you made the decision that's the way to go. But the fact of the matter is right here, right now, with four games left, in my mind, I think the opportunity should be given to Mason based on what they see this week, if indeed it goes as well as I think it could go.
Yeah, no, you know. And that's where it's like, why not? Why not?
Well.
But where's the pride? I mean, when we look at this, unless there's something that you know about Mason that we don't, and he does not give us the best option to win.
Right.
But by prefacing that, also I'm saying that, well, he looked pretty good in preseason last time we saw him. And we know that he wasn't going to really get the starting job opportunity. So he already knew he was coming into an auxiliary role, and he's accepted that role. Almost like Russell Westbrook coming off the bench for the Lakers.
Yep.
You're like, can he do it? Can he not do it? He looks phenomenal coming off the bench. We're like, oh, if we would have known, just had to stop making you the starter for you to shoot better, that would be great. But Mason might be that guy that can come off the bench with reps, of course. We're not talking about the tie with Ben.
Right.
Last year when Ben came out and he kind of got thrown in there.
No.
This is one where you kind of know it up to the week. If there's gamesmanship, there's gamesmanship. That's what this country's made off of, is being able to be at your best and be at a moment's notice, be ready. So, I'm excited for that. I hope that it's the opportunity. I know they're still splitting. We'll see. I guess we won't know till Friday, probably at the earliest.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah.
Could be.
So
we might not. It might be game time. You just don't know if he keeps this.
Oh, that is true.
But
Kenny would be ruled out by then, though.
Oh yeah, but you're talking about Kenny. I thought you were talking about him declaring the starter. I see what you're saying.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. But Kenny not being the starter.
Yes. There you go.
Sorry. Yeah. I realized I was like, man, I get tripped up sometimes with my long soliloquy. So, yes. We'll know by Friday whether Kenny is in or out as the starter. And then we can figure out the Mitch and Mason probably, like you said, on game day.
Well, I always go back to what the Godfather, the great Stan Saverin, says about situations. When all else fails, root for the story. And the story, in my mind, could it be that you've got a guy like Mason Rudolph who's worked so hard? He's been a great teammate all along. He's competed. He competed hard, but he's never said anything, to discourage what's going on about the competition and whether he felt that he did or did not get a real shot at getting the number one job. But he's just kept his mouth shut and gone about his business and been supportive and been a good teammate throughout the season. And simply put, wouldn't this be kind of a neat story if Mason is able to do something special here for a week, 2 weeks, who knows, four? Or, and if he moves on, of course. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Moore was telling him, to stay up, stay ready. You never know when that opportunity comes, and that opportunity could be knocking this week. It'd be really interesting. And you know what? Tom Moore is just a great man. I love that guy. He was so good and instrumental. I love when a lot of people were getting on Bubby Brister back in the day. And I remember standing there, and Tom goes, and Bubby says, I don't know. He says, it seems like I get more and more trouble if I try to push the ball down the field or whatever. Tom goes, if it goes bad, tell him it's on me. He said, put it square on my shoulders, man. Tom was just always that stand-up guy that was just, hey, put it on me,
Yeah, exactly. Like when in doubt, hey, listen, I just told you to do this. If it doesn't go the way, hey, I'll take all the criticism in the world. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to make you better.
Absolutely.
And that's all you can ask for in a coach, that the coach will believe in you to go do whatever it is that you need to do. Because I had Coach Moore briefly.
Did
in
you
Arizona?
Oh yeah, that's Arizona. Right. He was down in Arizona. I forgot.
Yep. You know, one of hey, listen, him and BA were. He made sure that Tom was around wherever BA was. So that was pretty cool to see Coach Moore. And Coach Moore, you know, he just slowly but surely, you know, he'd take his little walk at a little pace, and he'd be there. He would come up. He's like, you know, when he come to the offensive line, he's like, just get the guy blocked in front of you. I don't care.
He was so cool, man. I'm telling you.
I mean, and what do you say to Tom Moore when he comes up and tells you that? It's like, okay, yeah. Yes, sir. I'm doing my best. I will make sure that I get him blocked for you. You know, it's just, but just dry and to the point. But you could tell there's so much knowledge up there.
Yeah, there's no question.
The man has forgotten more football than I can ever hope to learn. You know,
oh, isn't that the truth, man?
He is a pure gem. To watch him like just work through and talk through with like off the top of his head,
yep.
Like what the defensive construct's supposed to be, because he knows it and he can rep it in his head. That's tremendous.
You know what's so funny? He was up at training camp probably. This is before COVID hit, and I saw him up there, and I says, I sidled up next to him and go, "Hey, Coach, how you doing?" We started talking. I go, "Hey, do you remember that time in at Three Rivers when we were practicing on a Friday?" Now, remember, we're in pads, full pads, right? Doing short yardage, goal line, and then, you know, the down and distance stuff that you – but, you know, down and distance. And just before we go to break here, I says to him, I says, "Do you remember that day that we ran like that toss 28 crack over and over?" He goes, "Oh yeah, we ran that 28 times." I was like, "You remember that?" I mean, exactly. Remembered how run it again. We ran toss 28 crack a number of times with 28 reps in just the one short yardage period alone. It was unbelievable. He kept making us run it over because Tunch kept screwing it up, I think. We'll blame him.
There is. When in doubt, blame Tunch. But isn't that just amazing that he can actually pull that up in his memory banks?
Oh, just
and give you that
so
situation
sharp, man.
And talk through it. I mean, yeah, that's what makes
awesome.
That's what makes him great. But hey, we're going to step aside, Wolf. First break of the day.
Yes.
And when we come back, we'll continue to talk and break down.
Remember, we got Cool Breeze coming up today. Today's Thursday, right? Oh.
Yeah, Thursday. Is he this segment? I don't know why I thought he was next segment. My bad. So we will step aside. On the other side, we got the Cool Breeze. Jerry Dulac himself coming up next here in the locker room.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, back in the locker room, and it is guest time. It is time to be with the one, the only, Jerry Dulac, and Jerry is brought to you by Chupkus 2 Cafe, located in the historic South Side, where you can catch all football and hockey action on their 17 TVs and enjoy $3 Coors Light. Remember, the mountain has to be blue before you drink it. Jerry, how are we today? Cool breeze. It's more like a mountainy breeze today. How are you, my friend?
Well, Max, you know, I'm terrific. I certainly hope you are. I know Wolf is, because he's in the same dreary weather that I am. And we try and keep our chin up as best we can. And we're like the Steelers. We'll keep grinding until they tell us we're not supposed to grind anymore.
There it is.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, look, Jerry, we've been kind of waiting. You know, Mason confirmed yesterday that he split some reps. The fact is, you we're coming down to the second day. Do you think they're any closer to naming a starter? And where do we know? Where is Kenny at right now?
Well, Wolf, I don't know where he is in the protocol. Right. And of course, even if he is cleared to practice. Now, a positive step was that he was out on the practice field yesterday. While he was limited,
right,
he was still out there, which means he's still going through the process. Of course, and I don't know if what he did yesterday qualifies as exertion or full football activity, which is the final step of the five-step protocol process that the player has to go through before he's cleared. But it is certainly the fourth step. So, you know, how he reacted to yesterday will determine what he will do today. But if he is cleared to play, if he passes, clears the protocol, he will play. This idea that the Steelers need to shut him down is really just preposterous. First off, for any athlete who wants to play football and does play football, knows he plays with some inherent risk of injury, concussion, career-ending injury at a moment's notice. Every football player, as you guys well know, professional player, accepts that risk when they go on the field. There is no medical evidence to suggest that just because you've had one concussion means that you are likely to have another. It just because you've had two concussions does not mean you are likely to have a third. There is no medical evidence to suggest that among the top people who have researched this, who began this concussion testing, who do brain injury research better, maybe greater than anybody in the world, than the people here at UPMC. They are at the forefront of that. They've been the leaders in that area. And they will tell you that there is no evidence to suggest that. So people who say, well, they should shut Kenny Pickett down because he's had two concussions. I mean, the suggestion is really, it's unwarranted. Right. It's unsubstantiated. And really, like I said, to me, it's just preposterous.
Well, and I think that's kind of where we're at. Like, where does the protection happen, Jerry, nowadays? I mean, you know, like, we're so worried about, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen here if a guy and his future. It's like, no, we don't know what we have still. You know, one of the things that, you know, and this is Craig's brother, Ron, who I work with, that I'm referencing here. But Ron brings up a good point, is that he's like, you don't know what you have, you know, especially in quarterbacks, for at least 3 years.
Right.
And because they have to learn. Then they have to show that they actually remembered what they learned. And then they have to mature. And so it's like, it's those stages of maturity. So it's when people are, oh gosh, you don't know. And everything else, it's like, we have some of the best out at UPMC, and trust me, in that PM&R department and their neuroscience and everything else, knowing what my wife, you know, and the relationships that she has with those friends, you know, over there, they're the best. They're the best,
right.
and no doubt we trust their decisions. But like you said, there is no evidence that just because you've had them and you've had a couple of them does not mean that now that's like a symptom or a disease. You know, my thing is that, you know, what is the sense that how long will it go? You know, I know Kenny will always be on ice, but who's going to be the top option if Kenny can't go? Has there been any indication of, Is this something that's carry? I know they split them yesterday. Are they splitting today and then splitting on Friday? Or by Friday, if you don't have Kenny, will they just pick one and just go with it? Has there been any indication about what they're going to go about as far as the process of picking beyond Kenny?
You know, Max, as you know, Mike Tomlin is way too calculated to let a mystery, if you will, just kind of boil and simmer all the way up until Saturday when they get on the plane or at the walkthrough. He has not told Mason Rudolph that he's going to start. And I just get the sense, and I don't know why it would be otherwise, to be honest, that that Mitch Trubisky will start if Kenny Pickett is not cleared to play. But I also believe that if Mitch would go into the game and throw some interceptions, then I could see Mitch getting the Mason Rudolph treatment from the Cincinnati game several years ago, where at halftime he was struggling, and then they pulled the plug and put Duck Hodges in the game. That was in 2019. I could see that happening at this point. Now, the problem with that, if there is a short leash, now you're having Mitch Trubisky play the way he played early in the season.
Exactly.
Which is cautious, conservative, don't make a mistake. And let's face it, fellas, I'm not certainly dismissing three interceptions. But if that field goal isn't blocked, they win the game and we're not having any of this discussion and everybody is saying, wow, they moved up and down that field and that offense created quick strikes, big plays, opportunities. I mean, look at the opportunities they had in those, you know, three of them.
Oh, I think we just...
Oh, hello?
You there, Jerry?
I think we just
lost Jerry. Okay. Whoa.
All right. That well, let us know that we lost Jerry.
I heard a tractor. Yeah. He must have been out back at the facility on the south side. I hope the tractor didn't get him.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, he finished the overseeding for the grass out back.
Exactly so.
Yeah.
But Jerry does make a great point, Max. I mean, you think about it. You know, had that field goal not been blocked, this again, it would be a different conversation. But then, you know, if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't womp his butt every time he jumped, right? I mean, so it's ifs, ands, or buts. It's tough. It's a tough call. I'm kind of like sitting there. I go back to Stan Severin. You know, when all else fails, root for the story, and what a story that would be. But that's no way to obviously make make a decision based on, well, you know, which quarterback you want to be able to go down and do something with. Mitch would be, I could see that, you know, if it would be halftime and a switcherooski or something like that. Who knows? Well, I tell you, it does make it intriguing, does it not?
It does make it intriguing, and it leads for good debate like this, like we're having right here on the show. I know we're going to effort to try and get Jerry back if at all possible.
Right.
That beeping sound made me feel less confident about us being able to get him.
Well, what I wanted to ask him too was, you know, as you, and this I'm asking you right now, as we look at this last quarter of the season, we got Jerry back.
That's right. Save that question.
I'm back, fellas.
We're afraid the lawnmower man got you or something.
Well, I'm glad you heard that, but of course I'm inside the facility. You know, they'll be inside today. I'm positive. You know, fellas, I was on such a roll there. I made so many good points.
You did.
I'm disappointed that it dropped. That might have been an award-winning segment, and now it's probably lost to Lord knows where.
Well, make sure you eat an extra chocolate chip cookie down there today.
I'll try to. But, Wolf, if you're showing up, I don't have to worry about the supply diminishing.
No doubt. Okay, Jer. So – We discussed that. All right. Now, the last quarter of the season, is there anybody that you want to see maybe being highlighted? You know, I mean, take a look at a guy like a Mark Robinson. Boy, I would love to see if he could make any sort of progress given the opportunity over the last month of the season. Or maybe somebody like Isaiah Loudermilk.
Well, you know, Wolf, if there were a guy that you said the one that I think is the one that they would like to get on the field, if possible, and take a look at, and that is Mark Robinson. They really like the kid. What they've seen of him, they really like. He just doesn't understand right now, you know, mm-hmm. as a guy one who switched positions, you know, was a former running back.
Right.
You know, he's a rookie. But they like what they see of the guy. And, you know, obviously with the uncertainty at that position for next year, you know, he would be the logical choice. We have seen Isaiah Loudermilk, not as much this year as mm-hmm. we thought we would. Part of that was some injuries early on. But I've never quite understood why they had him inactive as long as they did when he was healthy to play. Part of that was DeMarvin Leal.
Right.
But you know what? I mean, fellas, I don't have to tell you that. You know, it's just another year. Tyson won't be back next year. Mm. Cam's going to be 34. Who knows if they're going to re-sign Larry Ogunjobi? They signed him to a one-year deal. Because they, you know, they were uncertain about his physical, his ability to last through a season.
Right.
So, you know, obviously Isaiah Loudermilk is going to be part of the future. And so, yeah, I think, guys, he's another guy who needs to play more. But we have seen some of him. But to your question, yeah, Mark Robinson is probably the one player, if you said to me, who should they take a look at and who I would like to see them take a look at, he would be the guy.
Yeah, now you said something really good there, Jerry, and you were talking about Loudermilk and Leal.
Before the lawnmower got him or after?
After the lawnmower.
After the post-lawnmower. Post-lawnmower, man. But, you know, Chris Wormley is on IR.
Right.
And so there's a hole there to be filled. And like you said, Tyson Alualu's not back next year. I mean, who does this – opportunity benefit the most with the void that Chris Wormley has left with his injury?
It benefits the most, Max, Andy Weidel, because it sets and Omar Khan, because it sets them up for the draft. And you know, Max, I know you're on this same train as I am, and Wolf, I would imagine the same. I know, Max, is only because we've talked about it. They had an opportunity last year especially when they showed a willingness to try to trade up in the draft to draft Kenny Pickett. If they were willing to do that and try to do that, that shows they were willing to part with some draft capital. And if you are willing to move up in the draft, if you were trying, which they did, then to me, they needed to go get a game wrecker, a guy on the defensive line, somebody who's a bleep disturber, if you know what I mean. And that right. is Jordan Davis. And they didn't do that. And so to me, it's not just that you need a stud on the defensive line. Nothing against DeMarvin Leal. I'm sure he'll be a nice player. But you need a Cam Hayward. You might even need a Stephon Tuitt. You need a stud that you get in the first round. The same is true on the offensive line. While I like what they have done and I like the right side of the line, starting with Mason Cole, you need a stud on the offensive line. You need Marquise Pouncey. You need a David DeCastro. And I don't care what else you think is out there. It is time. It has been time. But it is definitely time to rebuild those lines of scrimmage with young star-type players. Not average players, not fourth-round picks, not third-round picks, first-round picks, and no lower than a second-round pick. So, Max, I know I didn't answer your question directly, but to me, that's where it has to go next year. But most immediately, I think you'll see a lot more of DeMarvin Leal, and you will see Isaiah Loudermilk as well. And God bless the contributions of Montrevious Adams and guys like that. Those guys are great for depth. But if you want this defense to be what you claim it can be, then it starts right up front. And once they lost to it, and Cam's getting older, they just don't have that up front anymore. And it's a whole lot true on the other side of the ball, too, even though I give a lot of props to that offensive line for the way they've played this year.
You know, one of the key guys that you mentioned there was, again, Loudermilk. Loudermilk really reminds me of those guys, you know, like Brett Kiesel, Aaron
right,
Smith.
Right.
You need 2 to 3 years to, number one, pack some beef on him. Make sure that you get that that 6'7" size, which, you know, he's still got the speed, the quickness available to him. But, Max, I'm going to throw it to you, too. I think you can put some meat on this guy, get some squatations, get him going up and down, you know, with a barbell with heavy manhole covers on it and eating a lot of steak and raw meat. And I think he could really improve himself by putting on some, you know, good 20 pounds.
Yeah, well, I would hope he'd at least go Pittsburgh rare, you know, not all the way raw, first and foremost. You know, get a little char on the outside, a little chewy in the middle. But, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think that was something we identified at the end of last year, Wolf.
Yeah.
Was because remember when we got to that point where, you know, we were like, oh, my God, we got to play Isaiah in Loudermilk. Oh, my God, he's not in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of went from that in his rookie year.
Yeah.
And then we come to this year where there's a lot more competition, a lot more depth that came into camp, and Isaiah kind of got lost in the shuffle with everything. But, you know, he's a guy that still could benefit to be a little bit bigger, to put on some good lean body mass and become, I would hope, more like a Aaron Smith type.
Right.
'Cause I think he has that wider frame. You know, he has the hips. Because that was the one thing that Aaron Smith had, you know, we never talked about it. But he was a very hippie individual.
Wait a minute. Your man card was just called into question there, right?
No. Wait,
Max, Woodstock was before his generation. What are you talking about?
Exactly. That is true.
Oh, what a great comeback.
But when I say that, it's because – when you play that 3-4 defensive end type, if that's what you're going to do, that's another thing we can get into later. To be or not to be 3-4, that is a question moving forward.
No question.
But if he is going to be in that mold, you got to have the butt and the ham hocks.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Right. To be able to post and take on the double teams and funnel things to your backers. I think that that's what Isaiah can be. So I'm saying that in a positive, masculine type of way, so somebody is trying to pull my man card on that one. But you know it's the engine for the D line. You gotta have the butt and the hips, and you gotta have that because that's where the power comes from when you're talking about doing those type of jobs. Now, if he's going to be a 4-3 defensive end / D tackle, then maybe not so much.
Right.
Maybe he can be at that size and proportions. But if you are going to do more 3-4 concepts, then yes, he needs to add a little bit more.
Right, and they're not going to change out of their 34 because of what they have on the edge with T.J. Watt. So, yes, so he's going to have to be a 34 defensive end. I agree with you. What hurt him this year, too, was he got hurt in training camp, so he missed the end of the preseason, and that just dragged into the regular season. But what they were hoping for from him, they saw early that development into year two, that big step forward. But, you know, he's a 310-pound guy now, 305 to 310. You know.
I think we lost the lawnmower. Got him again.
I felt like that sounded more like a shotgun pop, you know?
Let's get out of there. Let's go.
Get out of the firing range. Get out of the firing range.
Yeah. Okay. We better go to break here, my friend.
Well, with that one, so Jerry is not brought to us by
Jeff Gustu.
John Deere. He's not brought to us by John Deere. No, he's brought to us by Chipkins 2 Cafe on the historic South Side. You can go there and watch all the hockey and football action. They got 17 TVs. They got it all from every angle. And you can also enjoy those $3 Coors Light. When we come back, we'll digest kind of what Jerry was talking about. We'll continue further in the locker room. You're in the locker room, Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, you know, one of my favorite players I want to talk about is Zach Gentry. You know, the 6'12", I just love the fact that he got a nickname like that. I just think it's hilarious. But regardless of that, Max, you know, Zach has really had a road coming from, El Dorado, where is it, New Mexico? El Dorado High School in Albuquerque. Albuquerque, as Bugs Bunny used to say.
Albuquerque.
Yeah, Albuquerque. I should have taken a left-hand turn at Albuquerque.
Yeah.
But anyhow, he comes out of New Mexico, goes to Michigan. He's a quarterback. He's a big-time quarterback recruit. And you get there, and Harbaugh says, you know what? You're going to be a tight end at some point in time. And, you know, he makes that jump, and he comes out in the NFL, and now he's making the transition not just from a quarterback to tight end, but also the transition from a tight end whose primary job was that as a pass catcher to one who now is to block opposing linebackers and defensive ends. And he's doing a great job of it. And, hats off to a young man making that transition.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, right? When you're in college, you know, you come in as the man at a certain position. Sometimes you're asked to do other things. But when you get to the pros, you know, Mike Tomlin said this the first year he came. He said, listen, availability is the best ability, but the next best is flexibility.
Right, right.
You have to be flexible. You know, I don't know if – do you remember Mike's first couple years – he handed out these shirts to the team, and they said, use me, on the front of them.
No, I didn't. I don't remember that, no.
So there were these white dry fit shirts and a big square. It was like black and gold, and it was kind of half and half, and the top said use. It was black with yellow letters. And then the bottom half, it was yellow with black letters, and it said use me. And so – It was to indicate that, you know, like when you talked about like the two dogs, one bone, and all these other different things that he had early on when he was creating all the Tomlinisms that we know and love today,
right?
You know, over a decade and a half later, this was like the origin of those things. And that was that flexibility. It was no matter what, you know, got you here, realize that the ability to be flexible will keep you here.
Right.
And, you know, that was something even in my career, Wolf, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I started out as a right tackle.
Right, correct.
I then went to left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also playing that jumbo tight end.
Yes.
/ H-back. They also put me in motion.
H-back, and you're then, the entire alphabet back.
Okay. All right. Hey. All right. But you know, and then I was playing short yardage and goal line defense. I was on the field goal block. You know, like
right.
You have to, and I think that's kind of what you have to do to make yourself even more invaluable. When they say, you know what, when I look at that name on the list, this guy can do more for me than just the one position. So that's why he's more invaluable, right? Because he's a flex piece that we can use. Anywhere, and we could deploy him in multiple places, and that's what Zach Gentry's done, right?
Right.
He's become that guy who you can depend on to be at the point of attack, but he can also play the backside and be the relief guy on a shovel pass or a screen play,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to catching the ball downfield. He's made himself that guy, and he's also our emergency quarterback, by the way.
If you're ever
wondering if we get down, you know, to the backup, and the backup might get injured. Like, is Zach Gentry is the guy that's going in because he's a former quarterback. So just in case people were wondering. So that's just that's just a great asset to have. And you know what I love about it the best?
What's that?
There's no ego involved with it, right?
Right.
You just do what you gotta do. And that's one of the things that, you know, when you're looking at guys and you're like, man, you know, what does it mean to be an NFL? That's the epitome of it, right, Wolf?
Yep.
It's, I'm just here to put my hand in the pile. However my hand gets used in that pile, I'm okay with it. You know why? Because I want to help my team win. And if you think, coach, this is the best option for us to win, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to put my face in the fan. I'm ready to die, you know, run into the fire, right? I have more fight than flight in my instincts.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
That's a cool thing. And You know, and Zach, he does it with a smile. He's also a budding, you know, a budding content creator with their lovely tight end fireside chats.
Grilling and chilling, yes.
I look at the it tickles me every time when the show starts and they have that pack of hot dogs sitting on the grill,
I know,
in the packaging, and they're like poking at it. It makes my day.
Well, the fun thing about it is if you and I were on it with them, we'd eat the dogs raw. You know,
we would. Because you know what, you just chop them up, you just put a little toothpicks in them. That's an hors d'oeuvre. Already.
Sensational.
It's fancy at that point.
You know, it's dangerous for the two of us to be partners in this because we both are foodies.
Oh, my God. And here's the best part, though. It's good that like I'm not there every day because we would both probably be 400 pounds. So, because...
Yeah,
there would definitely be like, hey guys, can we just have you guys just with a camera when you guys go out to lunch after work, you know? And then next thing you know, it's like they're wheelbarrowing us into the studio every day. We wouldn't be in that closet though after a year though. That is true.
I will say this: one of us could handle it a little bit better than the other one. And I wonder who that would be.
You know, it would be like a meatball sub versus a double stuffed cheese shake. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, we're going to pack it in there. However, it's just one gets a little bit wider. The other one just gets exponentially bigger.
He looks, as I've said before about myself, I look like I was 10 pounds of potato or 5 pounds of, no, 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5 pound sack. I finally got
there
it right.
Go.
I had to get that right. Oh, my goodness. All right, we better go to break before they kick us out.
Yeah, that is true. All right, we're going to step aside. Wolf, what's the next hour?
The Power Hour.
That's right. We're here at the Power Hour coming up next in the locker room with Wolf and Starks and Ninja Jacob today, guest sitting in for Wesley Euler. You're here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.